Our mighty gracious Lord, we thank you for today. We ask that thy word be sent forth to bear fruits in the life of all believers of your righteousness, for your glory, for your glory alone. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will continue our Bible study, 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And as she said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." And David said to Achish, "Surely you know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians." Chapter 28, once again the Philistines are ready for war against Israel. David has sought the company of the Philistine, the enemy of God, thus the enemy of the nation of Israel. He was looking for refuge. He was running from all over the place. His own nation, even though he knew his identity, even though he knew the calling in his life, and who was he? He was the true king of Israel, the chosen one of God. There is a tremendous honor and destiny bestowed upon his life. He knew that. But while he was being trained in the school of God, preparing to be the king of Israel one day, he had to go through a lot of hardship. Just like Moses. Just like any servant unto the Lord. God will not send his people out there without training them. And David was no different. He was being pursued by enemies from inside and outside. So he made a slip. And it lasted him for a long time, a whole year and 4 months. He was living among his own enemy. So therefore, you notice his false position in the midst of his enemy. Now, after a while, how can he draw back? He's been playing fool before this king Achish. He was cheating out on him. He was being dishonest. It was easy to run to that position. He got himself into a situation that he didn't know how to get out. But God saved him nonetheless, in spite of himself, from the danger against God's people. God saved him. The Lord knew he's going to be weak. You see, if there is an enemy pursuing him, to run from enemies is a lot easier. But when the enemies before us are the nice one, are the gentle one, or perhaps with blood tie, their relationship, sort of a superficial relationship there, something to gain from this world. It's easy to run from a blatant enemy, but to have an enemy in your own household, a friendly enemy, an enemy that struck your ego, who lies to you, who pretend, now that's hard to take. David knew no good would ever come out of it with these Philistines. He was killing them off. He was pursuing them for a year and 4 months. He was going through from little township, little villages, and all over the place among the Philistine nation, the Canaanite nations. He was going after them. He had to wipe out every single one of them, including the babies, so Achish would not suspect. At the same time, you notice Achish was quite happy. He said, "David is abhorred by his own people." You see, the world was quite pleased to hear, to see, that we as Christians, we can accommodate the world. They don't want us to affirm their position. That is not good enough for them. It's like I said, "Well, I believe in sexual immorality." No, I don't believe in it. But if you want to practice it, I respect you for it. You think the world is going to rest? Leave us alone at that point? No, he doesn't. They don't. It will not rest its case against us. The world would pursue us until we do exactly likewise. It's like Sasha was discussing this matter with me. To be tolerant is a political correct term. A person who tolerates everything must also tolerate everything. If you are a tolerant person, I mean, that we look at history. Let's say, for instance, Second World War in Germany. Is it possible that every single German citizen, women and children, old and young men, young and old, is it possible that every single one of them were Nazi or even believe in Nazi mentality, in Nazi philosophy? If you do a survey among the German people, they would say no. But they sure were tolerant. They were tolerant. They didn't pitch a fight. There was no fight within. How many thousands and thousands of them pour into the street? They might not agree with Hitler's philosophy and evil philosophy. Evil philosophy. They might not agree with him. But guess what? They tolerated him. And consequently, 10 years war, 10 million people died. And among those 6 million Jewish people. For what reason? Is he guilty or the whole nation is guilty? If the nation said, we didn't agree with him, they sure tolerated it. A person who is tolerant is a person who does not believe in anything. It's time that we think about all those terminology we're talking about. David got himself in a jam at this point in his life. It was hard for him to get out. There's somewhat, you know, it would appear there's somewhat relationship going on between Achish and him. Achish trusted him. He trusted him. He looked up to David, look at him. Him being chosen as the true king of grace for the nation of Israel, he became what? Somewhat like a bodyguard for Achish. He demeaned his own position, his own calling. For us as a Christian also, although we are nothing in our own eyes, we don't see ourselves important. We don't see the importance in our own eyes. If you're a true Christian, reborn one. But in God's eyes, we have been called to be kings and priests. Can you imagine? Royal priesthood. Royal. We have been called to walk according to this incredible dignity and honor before God. But if we receive, if we associate and compromise the world's way, the world would honor us, but we will lose our character. We will. Thus we will become a slave unto the world. Because there is nothing free in the world. Only the things come from God is free. And our identity has been placed by the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ. We are God's chosen heavenly people. And all the indestructible blessing of heaven is ours even today. We don't have to wait till we die. And David, at this point, he was in a real fix. He didn't know how to get away from it. It was easy to run to Achish and spend a year and 4 months there. But to get out, he knew he cannot lift his hand against his own people, even though his own people rejected him. And for him, through and through, before God, he knows the Philistines were the enemy of God, and therefore, they are also the enemy of the nation of Israel. And there is no way he would participate in their war against Israel. But God, in his faithfulness, understood each and every one of us. How many difficult times we dig ourselves into. And I know me. I have done it many times. Get trapped in a situation, don't know how to get out. So what do? We look for solution all over the place. But we need to look towards him. Cry out to him, for he knows our different circumstances and our own weakness. Our fear, our inadequacy, iniquity, nature of iniquity, inadequacy, he knows all things about us, and we can trust him. Now let's look into verses 3. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him, and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the medium and the spiritist out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped against the nation of Israel. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gibeah. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, or by Urim, or by the prophets. Finally, Samuel's career came to an end. Time for him to go home, to his eternal home. Samuel has been a man of faith, a servant. He was one that interceded for the nation of Israel. He cares for them. He was the spokesperson. God speak to Samuel so the nation of Israel would know God's will. He was the prophet among God's people. He was the priest. He was the judge, Samuel. Finally, he died. Now, what happened to the nation of Israel? God will not speak to King Saul directly. It was through the priesthood. It was through the judge. The authority God has placed upon Samuel's life, because Samuel was a man of faith. That's all it takes. Samuel believed in God's word. Samuel had a relationship with God. Samuel was a servant of God Most High. And God cared for his people through this prophet Samuel. Now Samuel's dying. Samuel had died. Israel mourned for him. He had served Israel for many, 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 many years. It's incredible. Ever since he was a tiny little baby, little child, when he was weaned from his mother's milk, he was placed in the place of service in God's house. Now he finally died. Now what happened to Saul then? God no longer would speak to Saul because Saul had turned his back on God. Isn't it so like us, this generation? We call ourselves running around, we are Christian. But nobody know who God is. We know a few verses from the Bible. We can regurgitate what we learned from Sunday school. But do we know him? Are we blessed? Are we in power? Do we experience his peace and his love and his joy? Do we know him personally? Yeah. The book of Hebrews said in the New Testament, for those who have heard the gospel and turn away, you guys should read it in the New Testament. What happened? He was afraid. He was the king of Israel. He wouldn't have anything to do with God. He was egocentric. He was selfish. He was ungrateful. He repaid evil for good. He was a liar. He was a murderer. He was a godless fool, Saul. No wonder he had such a hard time during his life. He was in and out of mental illness. He was depressed all the time. He was paranoid all the time. He was scared all the time. He doesn't know what to do. You look at it. The enemy was coming. The Philistine was coming. He was scared. And he was very, very scared. He was so afraid. But he inquired of the Lord. Now this guy goes to church. I would imagine every Sabbath, every Sunday he would go to church. He would sing praise and worship. He would do all the ritual. He might even take Holy Communion. But his heart is as far from God as you can imagine. And he inquired of the Lord. But the Lord did not answer him. Now let's make this very clear. The Lord didn't answer him, even by ways of dream. Urim. It is the light. It means light, okay? In the priesthood, the high priest would wear a piece of garment. And on it, there are many, many 12 stones of Israel representing. And this is one of the things that was sewn in the breastplate of a priest's garment. It means the priesthood. No longer, in other words, there were no longer any representation from God. to Saul and his people. God is silent. How many churches God is silent? We can have the best choir, the best music, the best eloquent speaker. Do anybody know God personally and walk with him? You notice here also, it says that Saul had put away. In verses 3 it said that he had put away, and Saul had put away the medium and the spiritist. Who were those people? The medium and the spiritist. Psychic phenomena on TV, right? Such and such an hour. You can call. Psychic, I want to know the boy I'm going to date. What is he like? How much money he has on his pocket? I want to know what kind of job I'm going to get. There are more money spent with crystal ball, with the occult. You look at it, those kids. They say in Colorado, they say those kids, the two boys that gunned the student down and eventually themselves, they were into all kinds of occult, spiritist, medium. They are real. They are for real. Years ago, used to be when you become older, you know what this Ouija board is. Now in America, it's a common thing for middle school kids. There are more kids in the West are heavily into Qigong, all those kind of mystic, spiritist type of practice from the Eastern religion. They get heavily into it. They would go to temple and so forth. Dungeons and Dragons, The Force, Star Wars, you name it. Star Trek, it's not funny. Because we do not live in this world alone. We share this space with all the demons, Satan and his demons, the spirit, the evil spirit of demon in this world. We don't want to talk about it because we would say it's unscientific to talk about those things. We are heavily into it. But God forbids it. And you look at him. Looks like Saul put them away from the land because he recognized it's forbidden by God. Now let us turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let's see what the word of God had to say about practicing, playing with those cultic, spiritist, demonic game. Chapter 18, verses 9. When you come into the land, when the Lord your God is giving you the land of Canaan, the promised land, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you who make his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who will practice witchcraft, or soothsayer, or one who will interpret omen, or sorcerer, or no one who conjure spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. 12. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of this abomination, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Verses 14. And these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayer, diviner. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Now let's look at this. We sometimes wonder why God drives out, wanted to drive out and execute justice against the nation of Israel and the Canaanite nations, because these were the things they practiced. And what does that mean? Playing in the occult, by means of drugs, by means of a lot of cultic religions, by means of spiritists. Why would God? He's against this kind of practice because he's demonic. He's demonic. He's playing with the devil. He's worshiping Satan. He's seeking beyond. He's really going out. When these kids going around and say, well, I didn't do it. The devil tell me to do it. I hear voices in my ear and telling me to gun down people, to go and hurt those serial killers. How many of this kind of stuff we hear about? And you ask people who play those kind of abomination before the holy God. And many of them become mentally ill. And you go talk to them, and they will say, I hear voices. Well, what kind of voices? The devil tells me this. The devil tells me that. Well, how do you know there is a devil? Well, I hear him. He tells me to do this. He tells me to do that. Now, they're not sitting back and say, I really enjoy this terrific conversation I have with the demons and Satan and his demon. I don't enjoy it. What is it like? Do you drink your tea, sip your tea, watch TV, or drink your Coca-Cola and then have a conversation going? Oh, no, it's not like this. It's screaming. It's scary. It's scary. I was talking to such a lady. She said to me, I try every single one of those Eastern religion. I become so mixed up, she said. I hear so many voices. I said, well, are they good voices? What do they tell you? What does the voices tell you? To do all evil things. To hurt myself and go to hurt others. It's premeditate with association, associating oneself in word and in deed in the demonic realm. It is evil. And God, the Lord say, we are not to do it because it's an abomination. It's deliberate, consciously practicing evil. Actively seeking the companion of Satan and his demon. And they are just too happy to comply. They would never fail to respond. You hear people said, I met so many young people, older people who have messed around with this kind of thing. They never be the same, no matter how long ago. I mean, they're not kidding. They say they see visions, they see this, and they see that. Out of body experience, they are for real. They're absolutely for real. It's demonic. They call up the dead. Do they really see somebody? Do they see the grandmother and great-grand aunt? Only Jesus, only Christ himself has the key to heaven and hell. Nobody can call the dead to return to the world. Nobody, not even demon and Satan. So what do they see then? Looks like your grandmother or your niece. Who were they? They're demonic. They're satanic. You are not to play with it, because if you do, you would hear them, you will see them, they will be in your house, they will be in your closet, they will be in your car, like this guy who fooled around with this medium and spiritist. He was telling me, he said he saw this demon sitting on his steering wheel when he was driving on the freeway. He skidded on the road and almost got into an accident. The scripture tells us in the gospel, the word of God says Satan and his demons, they don't like dry ground. This spirit, they don't like dry ground. They don't like concrete. They don't like hardwood floor. They don't like carpet. And the scripture says they like a moist, warm place. Now, a human body is warm and moist, because it's made out of 70%, you know, mostly water, our system. Satan and his demon does not like hardwood floor, does not like concrete, does not like tile. They don't like plastic. They like warm and moist dwelling. And if one demon and Satan is not enough to possess our body, they would come 70, they would come 80, they would come 100. God forbids it. Saul looks like he was minding. Why? He make a gesture to expel, to get rid of all the spiritists from the land of Israel, but only to commit the evil. At the very next minute, he was a hypocrite.
Let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.